So I just feel God just wants to hang out. I do not know. It just doesn't feel that it's done what he started. I don't know. I just looked at something and it just looked as like an old building on the inside. And it just was like, you know, the Psalms 84, where the bird basically lives in the presence of God, the tabernacles, and the song is, "How beautiful are your tabernacles, O God." And it just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to speak something to us. And so I'm going to go there, and then I'll somehow figure out where we're going. But I just feel that God wants to speak something to us. So just close your eyes, open your eyes, whichever way you want to hear God. Because I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to whisper something. To some, it's going to be a sentence. To some, it's going to be a rhyme. To some, he's just going to come and just be with you. To some, he's going to give you a song. To some, it's going to be just a single note. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We just welcome the presence of God. Just more, Holy Spirit. Just more. He's going to revive a dream. He's going to reawaken certain things in you. He's going to remind you of things you have said in the past. It doesn't matter. You could be 9 years old, and there is something that the Holy Spirit wants to bring back. So come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Because it's good to just hear from him. I like to be at this place where all the noise is gone and we just hear what he has to say. You do not want my words. You want the words of God to resound in your heart. If there's one thing, let there be that murmur of God that you carry out of this place. Just come, Holy Spirit. To some, he's saying that even that building may look derelict, but he's just going to, he doesn't care what your building looks like. Ha! You say, "Oh God, oh, my building doesn't look so great. Oh, everything is out of order." He doesn't care because he's good. So just let him speak. I believe you need to hear the voice of God at times like this, at pivotal times like this. The voice of God is not just here to entertain you. The voice of God is not here just to say, "Oh, let me just feel good that I came to church." The voice of God is here so that you live your life according to give him pleasure, to give him great pleasure. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us. Even as you said that about the yoke, I think in the New Living Translation, the same verse says, he will teach us about the yoke. My yoke is light, my burden is easy, or whichever way around. It's just, he will teach us. Just more. Just more. Yeah, I just feel today we're just going to slay giants, but we're going to slay giants very differently. It's going to be very clinical. Yeah, it's just... And I do not know what are the giants that are in your head, in your heart, in your mind. I have no idea. But I just believe that we're going to slay giants. I came out with this one thing, that we're going to slay giants. And then I had wrote the giants with a capital G, and then I went and I erased it and I wrote it with a small g. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's what it looks like, okay, is rewriting the script. Sometimes we just need to rewrite the script, that what stands out to you as a big obstacle, that's what we need to just change that script. You know that same verse, Zechariah 4:7, that you were singing? Grace, grace, you say unto this mountain. In that, it's something he says, it's like, who are you, a mountain or of obstacles, or human obstacles? You know, sometimes we get bogged down by looking at this mountain of human obstacles that come our way, forgetting that there's a God higher and above all that. You see, and we just get bogged down by, because we're looking at this, and that becomes our roadblock, and we can't see beyond that. And when you basically impute the grace of God into that, and you say, grace, grace to this mountain, who are you, O mountain of obstacles? That place has to become a molehill, and it becomes nothing. You see, so I'm just, I have no idea, but I just feel there are these giants, and it's funny that we have become so wonderful as Christians that we say that everything is good. And we say, oh no, yeah, we are defeating our giants. But every one of us are facing a giant it's time to be real. And what I want to do is undo a lot of teaching, or maybe even a lot of stuff that we have learned and stuffed ourselves, and that has restricted us, because it is not freeing. It is not causing us to go into the things of God. It is not causing us to just believe what we believe. And we say, yeah, we believe. I believe that God will do this. But then when you look at what the response of our heart is, it is very counter to whatever we say we believe in. And it's, I'm not trying to confuse you. I know I'm using a lot of words. But it's just something that to just think of. It's like we say we believe that we see healing, or we believe that God's miracles happen. Then what? You see, what happens if you don't see that? What happens if you pray and nothing happens? You see, the title I was going to give my sermon was, I'm going to speak on faith. Is that okay? But it's because faith is all that the Bible, all the Bible characters had or sometimes didn't have faith. You see, when they walked into the promise of God, they had faith. When they ran away from the promise of God, they didn't have faith. Faith is the substance of everything that we do. That's the currency of heaven. If there's one thing we call the gospel, is the gospel of faith. This is what it is. By faith, you believe that you're saved. There is no big coronation. There is no big washing ceremony. But there's just a change on the inside, and that is by faith. Right? So faith. So I like faith. And so I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4, and I'm going to trust Keith with everything, because my phone is, I don't know at what stage. But Hebrews 4, and you referred to that. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You see? And now this is talking for the unbelievers. This rest is for the unbelievers. Okay? And if you go on to see like how he says the unbeliever thing, I think I was using New Living, 1-3. And God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear, for some of you might fail to experience it. This is still for unbelievers, you see. And then he goes on to say, he who believes can enter into this rest. Okay? So if you never knew anything about God, and you just said, oh, God saves, God is my strong tower and all, and you basically start believing that God is able to do that, it becomes your place of rest, right? But if you go to Hebrews 4:9, it says there's a special place of rest for the people of God. Okay? So this is what I thought about this again and again, the point of origin. We didn't like the word because it was poo or whatever. But point of origin, what sometimes we need to do is reset what is our point of origin. We were always called to be the special place of rest. When Jesus made us in the garden, This is where he brought us, and he said, be at rest. What did the serpent come and do? Did God say that you can't eat? That's what the question was. It was a very simple question. It was nothing fancy. It was, did God say you can't eat of this? And she said, yes, we can eat of every fruit except this. You see, and that's how the conversation led to this whole thing where we got out of that rest. And so sometimes it's like there's a certain question that the enemy throws at you. It's like, oh, you have not yet got your church? You see, why have you not yet got your church? And it's a very innocent-seeming question. But it comes with so loaded of the enemy that you just automatically go back and you say, like, that's from the pit of hell. Because why? What does a church building have to do? It says, I am the church of God, right? What does the building have to do in this whole sense of scheme of things? We could be anywhere and we could basically have church. My dream is basically kneeling down on the bus stop and having church, and that is church. I'm okay with that. You see, but what is the sense of this very innocent seeming question? And every one of you have a different question. Because why? It's because we have given ourselves to trying to live according to a counter God system. You see, the counter God system is like, Sandra, by now you should have had done this. Get your act right. Right? That's what the world will basically tell you, and that automatically puts this burden on you, and then you either basically choke, you get into fear, you get into paralysis, you get into death, and you don't know what you believe in. Right. See, I'm not pointing at you, but you're my example. But in that sense, yeah. So, but this is how the enemy works, is that he comes to you and he says, hey, you know, didn't you have this promise? Didn't you have all these words spoken over you? Now what did you do? And so that's where we have to kind of know is that our job, Jesus never had time for him. When the three times he went, he said that God, we live by the word of God. The first and imagine, that was the only time he gave him more words. The second and third time, he just dismissed him. He's like, be gone from here. You see, that was the first time only Jesus answered him because we live by the word of God. Okay, so now if he said that, Jesus could say that, what is your response have to be with the word of God? See, the word of God is what our response has to be, which brings us to that place of rest. You know, I love my name. My name means rest. It's a point of interruption between work and rest, where God created the world and then rested. And it's Aramaic. It's the true root of Sabbath day. And I enjoy that. Because I was like, I always tell my mom, I'm not going to do work. I'm in rest. Yeah. It was always, oh, my pastor got calls and all saying that, oh, this boy doesn't want to do work at home. I was like, now I'm just living my name. And you couldn't deny me of that. It was what I wanted to do. But that's what it is. And it's kind of funny because the church has gotten to a place where rest becomes symbolic of inactivity. You see? And then it's like the enemy is attacking me and I'm here, this poor, helpless person, and I cannot do anything. And we say, no, but we are in rest, so I'm not supposed to attack this. Oh, I'm at rest. The concept, again, what I'm trying to undo today is basically some concepts that we say that we cannot be at rest and yet be active. You see? I'm going to give you a word later. So 4:11 in Amplified. The same. So Hebrews 4:11, for some reason, is like this very important thing where it talks about the word of God being a sharp two-edged sword, dividing and discerning like the things and thoughts also. And the Amplified version says, zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to know and experience for ourselves. Okay? It calls us to be zealous and exert ourselves. So how is that going to be in rest? Zealous and exert ourselves. See, yeah, we're zealous. Yeah, I got saved. I love Jesus. I want to go reach, you know, pray for people and all that. And exert ourselves and strive. I thought strive is not supposed to be a good word in Christian kingdom. And strive diligently. Show yourself diligently by studying the word. You see, but to know and experience for ourselves. What has happened is that we have never known or experienced it for ourselves. We have basically said, oh, they look so peaceful. Oh, yeah, those ministers of God, they basically like have everything together. But we have never known it for ourselves, or we have never experienced it. And so what we're basically taking is secondhand information, and then we're passing it to another generation, and we're saying we're training the generations.
Right.
What are we training the generations? A lack of experience?
Right.
Where is our experience? Our experience has to be like, I've been there, I've done this, and this is the way to you go. That's it. We cannot go and take, oh, I love, what's his name? What's the braided guy's name? Todd White. Okay, I love Todd White. I have never seen words of knowledge and this thing move at such pace. That guy can just walk around and go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? But that's Todd White. Now what about us? What is it burning in us? How fast can we go? And sometimes I wonder, why do I prophesy where I prophesy very fast? I was like, maybe I need to slow down. You see? But it's just how we are. But we have to experience that, right? The first time I tried to even reach out to people, I was in an emergency room and I was called to pray for somebody who had died. And I was like already planning in my head how I'm going to give the salvation call. Man, I stepped into that emergency room and it was, they didn't care I was there. They didn't care what, like whether I was saved or what. I said, pray. And the guy's not moving and I'm like, pray. And nothing. You see? And sometimes this is what it is, because we had not experienced that life of God. We basically came with that zealousness. We basically came with that passion. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. See, and so what is the experience I learned out of it? It's like, hey, just do one thing at a time. Go, if you're called to pray, lay hands and pray. Because it's not about us. You see, the pressure that the world puts on us, or the counter world system, I call it, like, you know, is because the world I live in is about God. So everything else is counter to that. The word of God basically says that I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. It doesn't say I have to stir up anything. It doesn't say that I have to jump and do all my theatrics. It basically has to say that just do that. The rest God has to do. It's his kingdom, right? And so in our whole thing is like what we have taken on in our, whether a Christian walk or whether our, like in even the world, we basically came in and we basically took on this burden and the yoke that is not ours. Like we think that it has to be that, like how I told you, Sandra, get your act together, right? And then why get this act? I thought of the word act. Right? It's like act is basically a performance.
Right.
Right? And so in this whole thing of being at rest, what first gets you is fear, panic, anxiety, and performance. Because you come to a Christian place and then it's performance. Because fear is not allowed. You showing fear is basically a weakness. You having any anxiety is basically saying that, I cannot be like that. No, that's why we're here for each other. Right? So we have to basically try to undo this thing, because why would you want to suffer with fear and all this anxiety when somebody else can just agree with you and that can disappear?
Right.
You see? But the performance part of it was the other thing is like in Christianity, we have basically become these kind of people. We say, no, we're living a good life. When you said that I put my hand up, that was one of the most joyous things I heard. You know why? Because for a leader to come up here and say, no, I put my hands up because I have messed up. This is where I've given this thing. We have never understood that. We always want to show people our strength. We always want to show people, oh, I have got this together. But what is our weakness in that?
Right.
You see, Paul always talked about, yeah, the strength of God is this, but he said, I am weak.
Right.
You see, and Jesus said, cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. See, so sometimes you have to go back to the word and say, when we are weak, what did Jesus say about that? Yes, we can come to him. Come to me who are weary and heavy laden. Because sometimes this is where we say, it's like, no, 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 no. Jesus, when I'm really tired, I'll come to you. Or you will come to me and you'll rescue me, right? Love came down and rescued me, right? It's like, you know, you just think of it like, yeah, it's going to happen. Jesus will come. And you struggle and we struggle. And it's like, you know, in this muddy pool, we're just going up and down, up and down. And we basically sink. And then we get angry. And then we say, nobody came to help us. Jesus was never there when I had this thing. And we basically very hurt in our heart. And our heart becomes hardened because it says, harden not your heart today.
Wow.
But this is how world experience and our experiences are basically taking us not to a point of softness. It's taking us to a place of hardness. And we say that, oh, we cannot experience God. Oh, the song is not good enough. Oh, this is not good enough that I cannot experience God. I grew up in a church where we would clap and the presence of God had to be there. And we just enjoyed God because I didn't know anything else. You see? What has happened? Our hearts have got hardened over experiences. And our experiences have come to a point where we are basically saying, oh, it's not in my resume that I have not experienced God this way, so it cannot happen. We need to undo that. But how? Until we don't come to this rest. I think that this rest point is very important. And it's funny, okay? When I got this word, right, I was driving, and I just got this word. I was like, okay, it's going to be rest, you know? And I was like, all right, how are you going to do this? And literally, my whole week was funny. It was so funny from that point on, I can't believe it. Everything came against this point of rest. You won't believe, like, I went to closing, they had my names wrong, court's name wrong. They sent the money to somebody else, okay? And here I am, is like, okay. It's funny. I'm just going to laugh at this and I'm just going to move on. And everything, like literally, it came down to Friday afternoon. We had to send this bunch of papers off. We sent it and we were sitting and we were going to have lunch. And this was like 4:30 or something. We were having lunch. And we were like, okay, now we can say it's done for this week and happy hour begins now. Literally, we said this happy hour begins now and Everett's phone goes off. Everett's phone goes off and these are the words coming out of his mouth. Munich shooting court. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, because we were watching the TV and we're seeing that Munich shooting. And I know court is in Austria. I'm like, what the heck? Why did she go to Munich? And I'm like, and then the next thing he says, back. And he just gives me the phone. And I'm like, okay. So I take the phone and so it's like, okay, it was court's bag, there was no shooting and all. But everything worked basically to this, to basically throw me off this point of rest. It basically, anything. And what was funny is like in my heart, I had always said that I'm going to be aggressive about being in the place of rest. See, the aggression part of it was the right way I had to deal with things like this. Because everything is trying to take you out of that place of rest. Because out of the place of rest, you feel that you're unsafe. Out of the place of rest, you have no vision. Out of the place of rest, you do not know what you belong to, or why you belong to certain things, or why you believe in certain things. That's where the whole thing is. The whole agenda of the enemy is to, if I could just get you to step out. That's it. One thing, and then I can just take you little, and then little. And that's what, so the aggression part of our minds, and this is where the discipline side comes in. We have to discipline in our hearts that what you believe in. Did God say that? When something comes at you, what did God say regarding this? Because what happens is that we say it's okay to be upset. Is heaven upset? Is heaven having a tantrum? No, let's be honest, it is, right? We give the leeway for the enemy to come in and establish all these wrong things in our life, and those become strongholds, and here we come and we are trying to worship God, and we just feel, yeah, I can clap my hands and this is good, but I'm not experiencing heaven, because I've stuffed myself with all these other things and let them become these kind of like establishments where I go to every day whenever I feel needy, whenever I feel angry, whenever I feel jealous. But in my heart, which the King of Kings is all about and he's all after, that's all I have stuffed the heart with. Where is the more we cry, more God? Where can more of that come unless we break these establishments and say the child of God who is at rest is not a person who's constantly upset, is not a person who's constantly given to deceit, who's not a person who's constantly like, you know, doing the things of the world. See, and I'm not against the world. You see, that's why I was saying counter world in that sense, because to my world it is everywhere I go, God is present. The presence of God is with me everywhere I go. And there are people in this place right now that I'm telling you, you may not hear God's voice, even when I was walking in that initial thing, that I want you to know that if you felt God, that God wants to tell you that he is with you. You may not be able to hear. You may not, right this moment, you may not be able to hear. But God wants you to know that he is with you. It is in the scripture. It says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? So that includes everybody in this place. Right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. What does a forsaken person look like? Literally, what does a forsaken person look like? It looks like, you know, I call it the Isaac look and the, what's the Ishmael look, okay? Isaac had this, I believe, like, and I heard this from, what's his name, Georgian Banov, right? He had this expectation in his face, in his eyes, that God is going to do something, right? Whereas Ishmael was like, I got this. I'm able to do this on my own. I'm a hunter. I know how to hunt and get the things what I need. You see? So where is the reliance on God? Where is the resting on God and saying, God, I can't do this only by grace? We have taught ourselves this world system, right? And I'm not against it. Yeah, if you had to study, study. If you had to work, work. But is that everything that you have? Is that everything that God called you to be, right? I thought of you, Diana. Last week I told you there was an empty box that God gave you, and that box was rest. It was the gift of rest. That God is basically sending his angels even around you right now, that they're basically comforting you. They're basically giving you that rest even at this moment. And that's what it was. It was nothing you were looking for. But it was just like, here, there's a box. Take this rest. Unfold it. You know, take it into wherever you go. And that was for you. And it is funny that we have no understanding about that, why God even gives us some words like this. You know, I just do it. Why? Because it's his job to figure out what else he needs. Like for me, even when I came, like, you know, I was like, okay, what am I going to do, God? Like, you know, I should have brought you my notes. I had a very wonderful time. I wrote my notes on some structure-sure paper, and my mother-in-law called me later saying, can you read what you wrote? And I'm like, maybe, I don't know. but it's funny that, like, you know, because to me it's like I knew in my heart what God was wanting to say, okay? So the reliance on this paper is like, okay? Because I know the intent of God's heart. Now, how I come across, whether I come like educated like Ravi Zacharias, which I don't think I would right now. And I'm okay with that. Because the kingdom of God is joy. Yes. You know. But what we need to do is undo these things. Because it's okay to laugh, yeah. Right? Yeah. And you got to understand, I came from India, right? And so to laugh in church is like only when the preacher made a joke, you're okay to laugh. Hey. Keep to the decorum, right? But this is where the ungodly standard has gotten into our lives. And what we need to try to do is try to watch and actively undo, you see? Because what happens is sometimes we give into these things and then we think, last time we got away with it, we can do it again. But that's like sin. You do it once, you do it again, and then it becomes a habit. And that is the only thing in this Hebrews 4 that can get you out of rest when you're disobedient to God. You see? So we have to learn to dismantle things with that. Now, it's funny that we can tell people exactly what we want to tell people, but we cannot listen to the same thing that when somebody has to tell us. You know, we know everything about God. So now how does this work? Like if you see something, pray for that person. You see? What I feel is this, is that we have come to a place where our intent is right. The intent of our heart is right. But we don't have the Spirit of God leading us into the right way. And that's where we kind of need to undo. I'm not trying to tell you to be politically correct or whatever it is. Like, you know, don't hurt people's heart and feelings. But I'm trying to tell you is like, there's a way the Spirit of God works. Sometimes the Spirit of God is very violent. And when things need to be torn down, they have to be torn down. And yes, if it even makes like that you have to, for a moment, lose a friend, do it. But it has to be with that wisdom You see, and it comes only in time, experience. We'll walk through that, you'll come to that experience, and you'll go like, oh, okay, maybe I need to pull back. You know, and so as long as the Word of God is there, and a lot of people take the Word of God, but the way they twist it is a little off. So you have to be knowing, like, you know, what is the intent of God's heart? And that's how hard the blow has to be, you see? And that's how you chisel, and that's how you break things off. And because our words have that power. What did God say about that person? I'll tell you a funny thing. A friend of mine was standing in, I guess, not interested in worship. And the first thing that, like, in me boiled was, what's wrong with you? Literally, I'm telling you, I literally, in my heart was like, what is wrong with you? Like, you know, and I literally almost stepped to the person and wanted to tell him, hey, get your act together. Literally. I had no other understanding or anything because I was like, now, I'm following God, I'm worshiping God, and here's this guy who's not wanting to worship God. And I was like, get your act together. And I said it. And God asked me, did I tell you to say that? In like this quickness, did I tell you to say that? And he's like, no, God, I'm sorry. He's like, what did I say about him? Intent of my heart was very good, right? Hey, I'm worshiping God, I'm enjoying God. Come, enjoy God, right? But I took what I perceived was a God kind of way and I just released that word. And our words basically had that thing which was, you know, what if a brother shut down? You wouldn't be able to get a brother back. You see? So sometimes it's like that's what the intent, yeah, and the understanding of how God's heart is. And but to just hear and quickly even I had to ask forgiveness. Be quick to ask forgiveness. It is something simple. And I laughed at it because as I thought through all these things, that's like this is stuff we know. But sometimes it's like not been said or it's not been repeated or it's not this thing. And we need to because what happens is that we allow things into our life. They gradually creep in and then we're like, ah, Jesus. You see, and that's what we're trying to say undo because this ungodly standard has tried to invade the church. The ungodly standard is without the word of God. It is this wise preaching of eloquent men. That's what the Bible says. Without the power of God. You see, and what we need is the very power of God. When I went to your service, I loved it, right? We went to Deborah Hayes' service. And the funeral service. And everything Pastor Lena preached was all about the word, the blood, Jesus, you know, in a whole setting where I don't know how many people you knew over there also. And I'm like, ah, this is awesome. You know, and I was laughing because I was like, funerals are the best place, you know, where people try to recalibrate their lives. And they just come to that and there's this, oh my God, it could be me. Oh my God, my family, all that. And that's where sometimes it hits home, sometimes it hits home, and when you walk out, you know, you're done. And the Psalm 23 is very funny to me because he brings me to restful waters, he revives my drooping spirit, you know, he leads me. So he brings you to this point, at the lowest point of the valley, you know, and at your lowest point of the valley, he calls you to rest. I was like, God, you're crazy, right? Because that's what our flesh is fighting. Our flesh is fighting that, God, I can rest on the mountaintop, but it's not wise to rest in the valley. You see? You see? And where do the animals and all drink their water? I was laughing about it. I was like, wow, the animals and all like to drink the water upstream. In the valley, they don't like to drink the water that much. They like that fresh, bubbling water. It's like, oh, every Christian wants to drink that water. Why drink it down there? You see? And then it says, in that valley. So it's this whole point of recalibration in our Christian walk, and it brings you to this point where it solidifies you to your point of origin. That, God, I'm in rest. Whether I'm in a valley or whether I'm on a mountaintop, I'm still in rest. Okay? From there, it says that he anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows in the presence of my enemies. He sets a table before. Why are you doing it over there, God? Right? Why are you doing it in the valley? It's just God. See? We try to comprehend and we try to come up with all these answers about God. But you're like, eh, aren't you happy with me, wherever I am? If you know your point of rest, your point of origin, and your recalibration, you automatically walk away from a lot of stuff that is just trying to come and sweep you off. You see? And it's very funny. And there are two chairs I kept up here, you know. And it's funny. So it's like, I don't know, who wants to be? Do you all want to sit on top? Okay. Who wants to sit on top? $10. No, come on. I'm just messing. Just go. Sit on top. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. One more chair. Keith, do you want to? Anyone? Okay, I'll go sit. Okay. I don't know. Hello. So the funny thing is that this Ephesians 2:6, right? It says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, right? Now, if I'm seated in heavenly place, right? I'm seated. I'm chilled. Aren't you relaxed? Relaxed, right? Very good. So if you're relaxed, now you're in heavenly place. Everything is happening down there. All the craziness is happening down there. What are you doing? What does your mental makeup, your psyche basically tell you that you need to do? You're seeing mess happening over there. But you're sitting with Jesus. You're sitting with the anointed one, Christ. No, but think of it like this. This is our perspective. Perspective of God versus perspective of man is so different that we try to get into the weeds. We try to get into that, and that's fine. But if you're at a pace of rest, what am I going to do to that? I'm just only going to step. Like, this is a little high chair, but that's all I'm going to do. I'm still going to be at rest. Or I'm just going to say, dismiss, be gone. In the name of Jesus, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're in Christ, it also says. We're just not only seated, but now me and him are seated and hidden in Christ. So what does the mess really see? Do I need to do anything? Or does Jesus basically take care of that? You see, this is where our understanding of the scripture sometimes is so out of bearing, because what we try to do is like, I need to get down. I need to do this. I need to. Yeah. And I'm nothing against speaking in tongues. I have nothing. I love speaking in tongues. You know, if I could use the scripture, I would use it more than even Paul. I speak more in tongues than all of you. That's literally how I would say it. I would just say it and be so happy about it. It's like, I speak more in tongues than all of you together. It's like, do you think Paul did that? Yes, he did that. Was he stupid? Yeah, maybe not, just messing. But he was Paul. He could do what he wanted. But that's what I'm saying. We get into this thing, and we have come down to a place, and we are no longer at rest. Our rest is basically seated in Christ. You know? We're seated in Christ. So we go back to this one more word. Okay? This is a fun word I learned. It's a Greek word. H-O-M-O. Homo, thuma, thuma, d-o-o-n, or d-o-n, okay? Homo, thuma, don. It's like a compound word between running along in unison. You know where this word was used most in the Bible? This word was used in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, this is the picture. Think of this picture. We always see this picture that the disciples gathered up in the upper room, and they just prayed. Their prayer looked like how I was praying down there. Right? We would think like, oh man, for hours, all the disciples, Mary Magdalene, all of them basically just prayed and thanked. The word we use, and it's very fun, is we said they prayed in one accord. But they prayed in one accord, rushing along. It was from a point of rest. They were still rushing around, because when you come up to a spiritual plane, you come up to the spiritual seated in Christ, you could be at rest and you could still be rushing along and doing the things of God, but from a point of rest. That's where the Pentecost happened, right? The word, homo, tumo, don. Homo, tumo, don basically said, you're running in, you could sit. That's fine. Yeah. So, but that's what it is. It's like we come to this point where rush along in unison, right? It is not just one accord, right? We need to understand this, that where our authority lies. If the apostles were basically just in one accord, sure, if two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'm there, right? And still we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, right? But they were still in a place of rest, seated in an upper room, rushing along in unison. As a church, this is where we are supposed to go to. As a church that we basically have come, we all may look different. We all may have different giftings. We all may have different understanding. As long as we're sitting here from this place of authority with Christ Jesus, we are able to go and even touch Nepal. We're able to touch and say, in the name of Jesus, I release the Spirit of God into that country. That is the authority that you have. We are called world changers. We are not just here to just say, oh, we're going to change this little demographic in Sugarland and we're going to be happy. No, I could be sitting over here in Jesus and I could say from this place, I basically speak to Russia. I say, in the name of Jesus, Russia, be right now healed. Russia, all the rules over Russia, even right now, we come against it in the name of Jesus. And by the authority in the name of Jesus, by the power of heaven, oh God, we just come against all the rules and rule makers who are coming with these rules, oh God, and we break it in the name of Jesus. We just break it. Everything that stands in the nations against the name of Jesus, we bind it and bring it to nothing in the name of Jesus. That is the authority as a son and daughter of God, and we release. We release the host of heaven to go into these places. We release the host of heaven that to even protect people in those places. We release. We release. And like that, you change the world. And like that, you basically step into your authority. And like that, you basically went from a place of rest to moving and rushing along in one accord with the Spirit of God. And you call the Spirit of God to come into things where there was not. Into every dry valley into your life, you bring in the Spirit of God and you say, let there be life. Let there be life. In every dryness we saw, let there be life. And that's all. That's all. How difficult was this? When you knew that you were seated in a heavenly place, that you could have a vision for nations. We hit two nations in less than two minutes. With the very intent of God. And I didn't have this intent in my heart. I just went with what he said. That's how God is going to use you. He doesn't care what your building looks like. He doesn't care that whether you have prayed enough. He doesn't care. He's like, just trust me. Come sit with me. Come sup with me. Come spend time with me. That's the call. That's the invitation. He's bringing you to this place of rest. As you were saying, the place of rest, the invitation is there because that is where your authority is established. And once you know what your authority is, who can take it away? Nothing can take it away. Nothing can separate you from the power of the love of God. See, does this make sense? Breaking down the strongholds in our life that we have allowed the world systems to establish and then establishing the ways of God, which the word says that it is, brings us to a higher level of authority, but it brings us to a level of intimacy with God. Because now our trust, our faith, is not about what we can do. It's about being in a place of rest. There is a special rest for those who believe, for the children of God to enter into. Are you ready to enter into that rest? Where lies your authority? Where lies all power? Where lies the grace of God? Where lies the system of heaven ready to back you up for anything you need? Are you ready to step into that place of rest? That is your call today. That is what heaven has for you. When heaven spoke to you, when the Holy Spirit spoke to you, he was wooing you to bring you to that place of rest. To say, hey, come back. Hey, I love you, but come back here. Hey, where are you? Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? He just wants them to come back to that place of rest and intimacy and just loving him. That's where God is calling us. There's that draw of heaven. If there's anything you want to be his, you want to be at that place of rest. You know, because people who have authority don't go around, I'll beat you up if you don't listen to me. They don't have to display that. It's like, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, be healed. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. See, your authority basically, then as you experience, remember that thing I was telling you? As you know and experience it, it becomes stronger and stronger. That's why it's called faith. You see, the whole thing comes back to this point of faith. Without faith, you can't enter into rest. And once you enter into rest, your faith becomes stronger because you know your authority and you're able to yield your and wield your faith and become stronger. You see? And this is what God is calling us as a church. And I believe this word very strongly, homo thumo don. Okay? And I may be wrong. Yes. You know, I'm not Greek. I'm Indian. Right? Who cares if I don't know the Greek well or whatever? It doesn't matter to me. It's like, you'll figure it out. That's why I spelt it out for you. But it's like, you know, you'll figure it out. Yeah. All the students of the word will find that out. If John was here, he would say, what is the Strong's number? I'm sorry, but I find it funny. I bought the Strong's. Anyone knows what's a strong thing? That every Greek word or something basically has. Yeah, it's like a lexicon and gives you the meaning of that and all. And, oh man, I've never opened it, ever. So much for being a good student of the word. I'm not trying to dissuade you, like, or anything, like, you know, do what you're called to do, you know. that book is just lying in a box somewhere now. But that's how funny it is. It's like, you know, we think it's all this intellectual stuff that we have gathered over years, but whereas basically it says, have childlike faith.